what we're learning by opening in prayer. Not everybody at once, just one person. Porter, you would like to open in prayer today?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's bow our heads and pray together. Go ahead, Porter. Amen. Thank you. Good job. Okay, we're going to do just a little bit of review. Let's see what we got on here for the review part. Nope. Cool. Actually, we're working on provision this week, which is awesome because I hoped I would get this one. But I'm fast forwarding to the next slide, because I wanted to revisit the six facets. Does anybody, we got three of them up here. Does anybody want to make a trip around? Can we remember?
Character, our Father.
He's the giver of life. Good life. Right? Okay. Kingdom. His kingdom come, his will be done. Kingdom is a king with a place and a people who makes laws. Right? And we got provision. I'm excited to work through provision with everybody today. What comes out to provision? Anybody remember what comes after provision? Give us our daily bread. Mm-hmm. After our daily bread, we forgiveness, forgive us our trespasses, forgive us our debts, forgive us our sins, forgiveness. After that, lead us, guidance, followed by, last of all, protect us from evil. So protection, character, kingdom, provision, forgiveness, guidance, and protection. Our prayer time. How are we doing on twice a day prayer? I know I'm kind of beating you up here a little bit at the beginning. Yes? Yes. Up, down, good. Yeah. Changes things a little bit. It takes a while. Yeah, it does. It's an investment. I would challenge you. Did you time it? After we talk, give it a shot, man. For anybody else, it's like, oh man, it's so long when I pray through the whole set of beads, when I do the Lord's Prayer, the Jesus Prayer, the Lord's Prayer, the Jesus Prayer. Turn your phone on a timer and set it in the other room. Go do it in your quiet time. Even when you get back around to the cross, add some personal prayer, what's on your heart. Then go back in the other room and take a look at that clock. I think you'll find it wasn't nearly as long as you thought. So I've tried to pray for half an hour before. I don't think I've ever quite made it half hour solid. Couldn't do it. I've run out my, like, you're praying out of your heart. That's where we pray from, right? Comes out of our heart. Yeah. I'm empty, man. It's all out by the time I get to half an hour. It's been emptied out. It's been filled back up. And I'm good way before I get there. Even in the worst of times. Oh. Now I got to find the right week. All right. Let's go ahead and pray the Lord's Prayer together as a refresher. Does anybody want to start it? Kick us off? Go ahead. Our Father, Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Okay. You can see it's highlighted there. Give us this day our daily bread. This speaks to God's provision. Does that word mean anything? Anybody? Provision? What do you think of? Okay. It is forward looking. Yeah. What?
What does that word mean?
Provision? That's what I'm asking you, buddy. sounds like provide.
You say the provision, I get a vision of wheat fields.
Very good. Provisions are a big thing in the army. Yes? Yes, supplying them. Often we think of provision in a physical sense, meeting physical needs, especially there's a reason bread's in there. Give us our daily bread. We're meeting a physical need of hunger, thirst, etc.
I thought I was talking about the word. The Bible.
Well, you are correct, sir. This is levels. This is an onion. That's why I like this one, because we can peel this all day and there's just another level of how we think about it. You could think about this at least five different ways. We're not going to hit all of them today. The big one, the most obvious, is the provision. If you're going camping, the things you put in your pack are called your provisions. Like if you're going on a hike on an Appalachian Trail, you need provisions. All right. I'm sorry, I got in the review part. I got lost. That happens. So, when we ask for this, and when are we supposed to pray this prayer? Anybody remember? Like, how often are we supposed to pray the Lord's Prayer?
Five times
would be great.
Wait.
Morning and night. So every day. More than once. Okay, that works too. Every day we should be praying. Give us our daily bread. So we're asking to be provided for, and we're asking to be provided for today. Right now, in the moment, today, looking forward to the rest of our day. Today, take care of me today. We're not worried about next year, next month. Take care of me, Lord, today. A lot of times in the Gospels, we'll see Jesus talking about how God takes care of the birds, the trees, and things like that. Why? When they don't harvest, they don't plant, they don't do this, they don't do that. Why does he take care of them? Just because he's a good provider. This is one that we can look at and say, Lord, take some of that stress off me and let me recognize where things come from. You're the provider. When it comes down to it, the Lord provides. And we need to, especially have on our hearts when we're praying this this week, please, when you do the Lord's Prayer, focus on that line. And as we touch different facets, maybe if you're praying it twice a day, five times a day, each time you pray it, focus on a different layer of that onion. And see what comes out of your heart. If you say, I'm focused on my daily bread, in the most literal sense, Lord, feed me today. Feed me and my family today. We're also focused on the aspect that we're asking that. We're not demanding it. In the words, give us this day our daily bread, it can, in the English translation, that can come across as gimme. But we're not taking something, we're receiving something. Yes?
Does the Lord's Prayer actually come from the Bible?
Does what?
Does the Lord's Prayer actually come from the Bible?
Yes. Yes. Book of Matthew and the book of Luke, chapter 5, verse, can't remember the verse. But yes, it certainly does. Jesus taught this directly to us. Literally, Jesus said, Luke 11:1, because Luke 11:1 is, that's when he introduced the prayer and said, when you pray, say. You are correct. Good job. But yes, the apostles, his disciples said, hey, teach us how to pray. And Jesus said, okay, this is what we do. Great job. Right. So that's a big part of this. And we're going to touch on that in a minute when I find the page that I turned from. There we are. Back to our daily bread. Very good. Along with this, when we think about the literal bread and eating, how often do you prefer to eat, Bob? So you don't like to skip a day very often? No. Oh, in the same way that we would prefer to eat every day, then we should be praying every day. This is our daily bread. Daily's in there for a reason. I do have a pen. Does anybody else need one? Nope, good, cool. The Lord's Prayer teaches a lot about provision. We've covered the bread part. We've covered the daily part. Let's think about bread in the context of food. Where would you place that in food? Is that something like just your average loaf of bread? Is that something fancy, something special? Is it just something for a special occasion?
Multifunctional.
It's multifunctional. It fits the bill. It's nutritious. Filling. If we look at the context of the society when this was written, bread was literally the source of life. Bread is a big part of civilization. If you eat grain, you do like just eat grain, you don't gain a lot of nutrition. When you eat bread, it changes it and you get a lot more nutrition out of it. And it really helps. So bread is a big part of early civilization flourishing. Can anybody think of another time when God literally provided bread? When they came out of Egypt. Oh, this isn't just a picture of me being fed daily, but it's also a callback to remember. Yes. Yes. Yes, Jesus was big on feeding people. That was one of his things. in that place where the Israelites come out of Egypt, they enter the wilderness, a place of trial. They've just come through the Red Sea, which is basically baptizing the entire nation at once, right? They all walked through water, came out the other side. Then they grumbled and said, "We're hungry." The Lord provided for them out in the wilderness. They had nothing. They had also, we should remember, just been slaves. They'd just been set free. So as we go through our walk, as we ask for forgiveness, as we are baptized, as we struggle in the wilderness to find our way, God will provide, and he calls us back to remember manna, bread from heaven. That's just another thing to click in your head when you say these words. We have in our notes that we should also recognize that bread is a basic need, that food is a basic need. It's a need, not a want. We should be careful when we're praying that we are praying for provision. We're not a church that preaches a doctrine I can't even remember the word right now. I just lost it, totally lost it. What's that? Okay, anyway, some churches preach a philosophy of riches. That's not a theology that we practice here. We don't ask for seed money. We don't name it and claim it. We don't pray for Lamborghinis or personal jets. Not something that's on our docket or our agenda. You can give that a shot if you want. That's not what we're concerned with. We're more concerned with our soul, doing Jesus' work, following in his footsteps. As Christians, we follow in the footsteps of Christ. That's our goal. And Jesus didn't ride around in a gold chariot. He rode around on a donkey or walked, wore his sandals out. So That's where our heart's at. We should, we already covered that. Look at that. Looked ahead in the notes, and there's the stuff we just talked about. So, Jesus. Now's the part where we get away from the earthly, the basic, food in our mouth, providence of giving us our daily provisions, to Jesus himself. I'd like to go to the book of John, chapter 6, 28 through 35. I don't know if there's any notes in your stuff, but here I'm going to read something to you from the book of John. Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" This is in parallel with, teach us to pray, what should we say? Then what should we do? Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." And Jesus replied to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall not thirst." Who here was in, I think most of you were in service today. I saw most of you. What did we do in service today? Yeah. We received the body of Christ as represented by unleavened bread. So that daily, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger." Receiving the bread of life, Jesus Christ, daily. That's aspect number two. Yes. Shoot, Bob.
What's the difference between open communion and
closed? Open communion is, hey, anybody need a snack? Anybody want to come up here? Come on up. That's open communion. Closed communion says, excuse me, we don't treat this as a community snack table. This is a sacrament of our beliefs. We are practicing our belief in the table of Jesus, and we ask that you would respect that. If you are not a believer, then please do not share.
Well, second part of that question is, why do some churches tell you, okay, if you're not a member of our church, you cannot partake in
communion? There's two possible reasons for that. And we've thought long and hard about where do we stand on that. That's something we got to think. Like, one, if you take it very seriously that people should be believing and professing Jesus Christ if they're going to share, we don't know who is professing and believing. We have a visitor come in, they just might feel awkward sitting in their chair, so they get up and do that. Some churches would say, we don't want that to happen in our church. We don't want to mess up the sacrament. We don't want to make it less. So we are protecting that by saying, members in our church, we have a record that they're baptized. They've gone up in front of the church and either through baptism or a confession of faith, told everybody that I believe this, I follow this. Maybe they've recited the entire or parts of the Apostles' Creed. And then the church goes, oh, okay, well then, yeah, we know you're in. Other churches would profess that whatever their particular doctrine is for that church is so far superior to any other church that obviously their Jesus is better than yours, and you shouldn't touch their bread because that's their Jesus' bread. I mean, that's as simple as I can break it down. And you mean, if that's what they want to do, man, okay, I'm not buying into that. I'm not gonna sort the weeds from the wheat. That's not my job. I'm here for the harvest, but I don't get to pick what's a weed and what's wheat, dude. That's Jesus' job. So.
Is our church an open or closed? Like open and closed communion?
We call it close. C-L-O-S-E, not D on the end. As in, we ask that you be a professing believer of Jesus Christ, but we're on the honor system. Like, hey, we're telling you, it's not a joke to go up there and take this sacrament. This is important. It's a big deal. We won't make a mockery of it. We, if you are not a believer, we ask you to remain in your seat. But we don't check anybody's Jesus card. We don't check IDs. We don't ask. If I see somebody walking up there that's not a member of our church, I don't bump them out of line or tackle them or ask them to leave or anything like that. But I mean, that's
being saved, right? Like they're saved.
Yes.
That's what, okay.
Yes.
Because I was just a non-believer, and it's like, well, I would be here if they're not a believer.
Well, people come all the time to check things out. I mean, many of us who grew up in the church as kids and went with our parents, it just seems mind-blowing but many people, and in a good way, are out searching. Some people honestly searching, others, I mean, we have some people that come in and visit church and then immediately come to the elders and say, hey, I need some money for this or that, and then we never see them again. So, I don't know. We also have people that come in and have never been in a church in their life, and they come back and go, we think Jesus might be for us. We want to know more. Cool. it's incredible the number of people in the United States of America that are unchurched, as in don't go, never been, nobody in the family goes. It's a completely foreign concept. And with each generation, it's more so. I'm sure that our young people here could tell us a lot more that a majority of their friends haven't gone, don't go, never been, don't even know what that's about. There you go. Yep, 10 short years ago.
Told me that if I went to church with them on Sunday, which I'd like to do, which I would love to do, she said, make sure I have a copy of your baptism first, if you're going to take
it. Yep.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
Yeah, that's...
You know, I remember their church down there, and they don't know for a fact that you've been baptized or that, you know...
Saved.
Yeah, saved. You can't take
it. And most of them do go baptized because, okay, you said you're saved. First step towards following Jesus biblically is to be baptized. So, are you baptized? Then you get into a big argument over, is that baptism good enough? Whose baptism was it? How many names were you baptized in? Just the Father or the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Were you sprinkled? Were you dunked? Were you, what happened here? How old were you? Blah, blah, blah. So you can open a can of worms, buddy. you can get into the weeds.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, I forgot about the river versus pool parks. Yeah. All the German Baptists go out to the creek out behind my daughter's father-in-law's house. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Batdorfs. Okay. I think we've gone on our tangent for a minute. We're going to bring it back around to the Lord's Prayer and provision. Jesus is our daily bread. So when we ask for provision, we're asking to be provided for physically, and we're also remembering that as we are provided for daily our physical needs, we are also provided for daily our spiritual needs. And it's leading direct. This verse is pointing into our heart and saying, hey, are you hungry? We'll feed you. Are you thirsty? I'm going to fill you up. But it's getting you ready for the next verse. It is climbing the hill towards forgiveness. It's pointing you towards Jesus because he's our daily bread. And I'd like to now look at Mark chapter 14, verse 22 and 24. If you're taking a note in your papers, write that one down to revisit. Maybe read that verse before you do your prayer time. I give you. This is Mark 14, chapters 22 and verses 22 through 24. I'll start at 22. And as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them, and said, "Take, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." So here we are again, Lord's Supper. We just practiced it today. And I also like to think about, we're all here, right? We made it this far. Layla, how old are you now?
How old?
Yes. 12 years. Haven't starved to death yet. Haven't, you've made it. You haven't starved. You haven't died of thirst. You're doing pretty good. Roof over the head. Yes. The aspect, the larger picture of provision is a little bit easier for sometimes for the adults to grasp. As a kid, prayerfully, many of your needs are met by a parent or guardian. But that is God the Father. That's a picture. That's an image that we as parents represent. Provision for the children. As an adult, we recognize those things are coming from God. So we should be thankful for that. Porter, are you thankful for all that your mom brings to the table?
Yeah.
Can you think of something that she provides?
Shelter.
Shelter, indeed. Shelter is much preferred to just laying in the yard at night.
Yeah.
Yep. It's just better. It is. How about Layla? You got anything? Mom and Dad provide anything? Food? Yep, food's good. I like food. Carmen? Water, clean water especially. That's kind of nice. I like clean water. So as we pray this, we should also remember that we've been provided for. We've received provision. We've made it this far. We're going to make it through tomorrow the same way by the providence of God. Providence is a word that I learned from Paul not long ago. Does anybody know about providence? It related to provision. They start out with the same kind of stuff.
Isn't it providence?
Providence. Yes, it's not just a city in Rhode Island. Is that what you're about? Oh, province, like a state in Canada? Or yeah, no. Providence is unperceived miracles. God's daily provision is providence. Those things which are not God overtly, like God, I got out of bed this morning. I'm breathing air in and out all day. I'm going to eat. I have a roof over my head. I have a beautiful wife. My kids are healthy. I'm healthy. I have a life that's all provided to me. Doesn't seem like a miracle. For some reason, when a baby's born, everybody goes, what a miracle. But that's it. That's the one miracle. Then every day after that's whatever, apparently. But every day after that's still a miracle that you're still here and still being provided for. So recognizing things that don't, when people say a miracle, they think, well, lightning from the sky, something outside of nature, something unusual happens. So much of what God does is usual. We're just used to it. So that's what providence is. Those things that we're used to or get used to. Go ahead. The chances of a person being born. I'm not sure how you would calculate that, to be honest. Okay. If you say so. I'm not sure where they started the math on that. I probably don't want to think about where they started the math on that. But there we go. Now. I forgot about that. If we're still using our prayer beads, I hope that you are. As we go through this week, we've been doing the Jesus Prayer, right? And then the Lord's Prayer. You got a note for us to help think about this on our weak beads, meaning the ones that all touch each other. This would be even faster, so you won't use up so much time, Lance. Please give a shot to maybe just once a day switch over from the Jesus prayer to give us. It's just an open-ended provide, provision on each one of those beats. Give us. You might take a split second to think about what that is. I also want to, since we've got a little bit of time left, focus on a portion of this prayer that we often forget. I know for the first probably 25 years that I said this prayer, I didn't focus on it. And that is, who here is in English class in middle school or high school? Yeah? Okay. So there's a lot of words in this prayer. A lot of them are pronouns, right? Do you see some pronouns in here? In the Lord's Prayer. What do you got? Just call out a pronoun if you see it. That's not a pronoun. No. Our. That's good. Our, your, us, we, us, yours. Okay? So, which ones are singular and which ones are plural? Yeah. Where are the yours at? Who do they refer to? That's right. Your or yours goes to your name, your kingdom, your will. Okay. Now all the plural ones. Our, us. Our, us. Our. Who are those? That's right. Us. This is a plural prayer. So often when we pray, we're humans, and we tend to focus on me, myself, and I. It's one of the hard parts of the kingdom bit with this prayer. It's his kingdom, his will, not ours. It's also why when we pray for provision, often we were praying for our will, our kingdom, to be filled up the way our eyes want it to be seen. We're praying for God to give us what God thinks we need, because he knows what we need. And also we're praying with a bit of thankfulness, because not only have we been given what we need, but also we have received Jesus, the bread of life. Those plural words are something I try to focus on from time to time, just to bring me down to this is plural, this is for all of us. And it also reminds us that we're not the only ones saying it. You can think about anybody or all the people you want to when you hear that word us. It's good. You could think about people that have passed. You can think about kids in the future. You can think about all the churches around the world praying that same prayer, because they say the same Lord's Prayer in Nigeria as they say in America. Because it does come from the Bible, as we covered. What you got, Lance? What question are we on? Good question. I don't believe there are any questions. We filled them in. Yes, that one. Provision. Remember, we had provision up there for, I don't know, the last half an hour? All right. Anybody got anything you want to share? Because I think that we are well into this, and ready to prepare for next week, which is going to be forgiveness. That's next on the list. That's a big one. And having come just not long ago out of the gospel section, I think it should really ring. Would anybody like to close in prayer? Okay. Make it full loop, dude. You opened it. Go ahead and close it. Yeah. Yeah. That's right now, buddy. Amen. The sticks are up there. Yeah, good job. Thank you all for sharing this time with us and for your continued studies. Sometimes praying with a set of beads and doing a little prayer time in the morning evening doesn't feel like study. But if you've got an open heart, you'll learn plenty. Well, thank you very much. What's that? Oh, you lost. What did you lose? The tip?
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you for praying and for volunteering. Well, I'm glad you didn't just pop it in your mouth, bud.
No, I just smelled it because I wanted to see what it was. Yeah. One time, my grandma bought the dog cookies, and I thought they were human cookies. So I started eating them. I spit them on, like, these are not good. I ate them. They're dog cookies. I thought those were dogs.
I'm hoping so.
Yeah, I wonder
why.
I
ate
a dog
cookie.
It was awful.
We're going to fish it on the board.
Oh, but they make it look like these miniature
Batdorfs. There you go.
It's out on 48. Just past 185, I think.
Yeah. Do you know Dan and Tawny? Okay. They've been here since the beginning. Dan, Tawny. They for the most part, effectively retired from Red Barn Catering. They used to cater a lot of our events. He drives dump truck. They're farmers.
Okay.
They have a beautiful property out there.
They got a big pond well stop.
Yeah, they're semi-retired now. It's like the son and the son-in-law are the ones doing all the farming. Although he still goes out and
he loves the fish.
Well, yeah. There you go.
Oh, wow.
You know Harry Conlon? Harry? Reggie.
Hi.
Older guy works
the oldest guy.
Yeah, one of the oldest.